Hey everyone, Chris at Light Force here with a cold open to this week's episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast. As many of you might know, we hosted our very first, or maybe it was second, holiday live show. I mean, this was the first time we actually did it live online. And we had some phenomenal guests line up. You're going to hear from the likes of Clay Emo. We got Sat Shaw swinging through, Sam Chang, Wyatt the Stanchion Arndt was present. Heck, even Adam Ovenell Carter makes an appearance. We had a lot of fun. The actual episode you're going to listen to is close to 2 hours long, and the audio probably doesn't give justice to what the actual live show was all about. I strongly encourage you to check out the YouTube video. It's on the C4 YouTube channel. We've got it linked on social. We've got it linked in C4 Discord. And again, give it a watch if you can. And better yet, click that little subscribe button on the C4 channel to get us up to 100 subscribers. But that's a whole different other story. I want to also let you know that we're going to take a break for the next few weeks, just to give ourselves an opportunity to spend the holiday with our family, with those friends that are within our bubble, and ultimately just to spend some time relaxing and recovering of what has been a very crazy 2020 year. NHL hockey is returning in the new year. That much is sure. And we're going to have your weekly episodes come back early in January. But as I mentioned, for the next bit, we're going to take a break. And I want to take a quick moment to wish you all a very happy, safe, and healthy holiday season. On behalf of myself, Chris, Anna, Adam, and Matt, please take care. Spend some time with friends, spend some time with family, be it virtually because they might not be in your bubble, but let's look forward to what will hopefully become a phenomenal 2021 as this pandemic starts to wind down. We're not there yet, so please stay safe, make smart decisions, but let's look forward to the return of Vancouver Canucks hockey. Now, let's go to the show.
Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round-by-round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to a very special edition of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast. It is our holiday live show. I am Chris at Lightforce, joined virtually at the moment by Anna Forsyth at A4603, Matt Lee at Matt Lee underscore 61, possibly remaining unfit to podcast, Adam Ovenell Carter at Adam FOC, and all sorts of special guests that are going to be joining us over the course of this evening. We're going to refer to this as In the Now because it is our live show. And for those of you joining us on YouTube, thank you so much. But Anna, Matt, how goes it?
Good. Happy holidays, everyone.
Hey, look.
We're in the Christmas spirit. Matt is not because it's Matt.
Like, we were actually talking about this before we clicked record. Matt is essentially the C4 Scrooge. And I think it was Bearded Canuck who mentioned it in patron chat that we're going to have guests of podcasts past haunt him.
Yeah.
Clay, let's be honest. Clay's going to join us. He's going to be coming out. We had that tweet. Who of the two of the three are you going to see? Adam, Francesco Aquilini, or Clay? And we know Clay will be one of them. So the other two.
Yeah.
50-50 toss up. But we have... We have Jessica here from Australia. Hi, Jessica. We've got Sean straight in from patron chat.
Hey,
and Lisa as well from Seattle. Welcome. To point out eggnog.
Okay.
I got eggnog.
Okay, this is the big moment. This is me trying eggnog for the first time. It's got brandy in it.
You've never had eggnog before this very singular moment.
Okay. I'm doing it.
Mine's good. Oh, that was so good. Here we are watching it. Anna, try eggnog the very first time. And So Anna's look
I don't hate it, but I don't love it. It's
well, what kind of eggnog is it first? Like is it store bought, like dairy?
It's super store bought.
Yeah, as Ina Garten says, store bought is fine. I don't have the time or the wherewithal to be making eggnog, which I never even had before, so I wouldn't know what it's supposed to taste like.
If you can, it's difficult because I don't think they make small sizes of it. But Avalon Dairy, one of the local dairies here that makes eggnog, their eggnog is like up fancy. Here. Everyone else's eggnog is just like, that doesn't really matter. Like I got whatever the Costco brand eggnog is here with a little something in it.
Can I just say that Jess is putting forward the conspiracy theory that I killed Adam? Can we just put this straight? That the conspiracy theory is not that I killed Adam, it's that Matt killed Adam.
Well, and I got some bad news for everyone. Guess who's here?
Oh my god, he's alive!
Like, Matt tried his best, but he didn't succeed.
No,
I was about to text him saying, remember when you said you were going to show up for this thing and then you didn't? And there he is. There he is defying the odds. Guys. Just like Louis Erickson, he is still alive.
Collecting a contract or paycheck?
Unfortunately, there's no $6 million paycheck attached to it.
No, there is not. But okay, do you have a holiday beverage there, Adam?
It's just a glass of whiskey.
Well, that's fine. That's actually fine because what's Matt drinking right now?
Probably hot water. Yeah.
Hot water. See, Adam knows. So
is that what you order at a restaurant too? Like a.
I'm a cold water kind of guy.
Matthew.
Look, I'm not gonna hide who I am. All right, embrace who I am.
Jessica's comment here. Since we know Adam is dead, who is that?
Well, like literally all the people that started listening to the podcast in the last 6 months think you're fake. Like, so.
Yeah. Adam, since you're joining us for the first time in a very long time, do you want to like catch us up to speed real quick on what you've been up to lately while you've been on the LTIR?
Yeah, for sure. Matt always used to yell at me to get my life together. So I've been busy doing that. I've been working at a school for autistic children in New Westminster. As I guess my title is an educational instructor, but just essentially a teacher and program administrator, I suppose. But yeah, it's been great so far. That's taken up most of my life and it's my new life direction. So it's cool. Good stuff.
Can we just point out the bare-faced cheek of Matt trying to tell someone to get their life together?
What can I really? Say? I inspire others. Look at how I've inspired Adam to do great things now. Sometimes all it needs is a little kick. And if I can be the Travis Green to his Jake Virtanen so that he can get his life together and become the top six player that we all know he can be, then I've done my part.
Well, I mean,
that's always been the tough love type of mentor.
So. Yeah, for sure. Adam's gotten his life together. You know, Jake, we live in hope. So, yeah,
he's still got like 5 years on me though, so he's okay. He's got time.
Yeah.
It's good to have the band back together for the holidays. I mean, like Richard said in the chat, it's like a soap opera moment. You know, coming back from the dead. I mean, this is like Young and the Reckless.
So. Like. Being recast as a different actor.
Well, that's the thing. We haven't like recast him though, unless Jessica's on to something that this isn't actually the real Adam. This is the
it's
Adam.
It's like the Avril Lavigne conspiracy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Nexus said that Adam's the only one wearing Canucks gear. I am also.
Well, that's not true. I'm wearing mine.
There you go.
Which is now out of date.
Gap.
No, cap, you know, cap. Like oh, the cap. Salary cap, like, not bro.
Cap. I just said gap.
Like, wow,
that's the gap between the Canucks and the rest of the division.
Yeah, right.
So I've been meaning to update the shirt. It says Marky. I've got to like replace it with someone else here.
What are you going to do? Like just put like tape over it?
And yeah, I'll just put some electric tape over it, put Demko in there or something, and it'll just go down the list as we go.
Yeah. The shirt's like, I mean, it's one thing to get a jersey where you get the nameplate on the back and the player is obviously gone or what have you, or you made a mistake and it was a Messier jersey.
Or then David Booth jersey.
Yeah, then there's those shirts. Speaking where it's got a list of players where it is almost guaranteed to go out of date.
Yeah, I do have a shirt that says Henrik and Daniel and Brandon and Bo. I mean, not really out of date yet, but why they chose Brandon Sutter, apart from him being foundational, of course.
He was probably the most marketable player other than the other three on that shirt at the time.
So sad. That is so sad.
Come on.
Pre-PD and Quinn times.
Yeah.
So before our guests start joining us, 2 weeks ago when we were last recording an episode, we had said there hadn't been any progress in, when it cards to the NHL. We actually had some doubts as to whether or not the season would actually occur. And here we are, apparently only, what, a month away from the puck dropping now, presumably somewhere
less in Canada. Than that now, yeah.
Yeah, 13th of January.
It's coming up quick. I saw that. And it's just like, holy smokes. That's going to be exciting. We got World Juniors to tide us over, hopefully, until then. And then
it seems to be like the World Junior camp seems to be doing better. There's a couple of people who have been sent home because of COVID, but and a couple of injuries. But for the most part, it does seem like everyone's okay there too. So,
like the German team had 5 players, I think it was.
What was the other one? The Finnish team.
Yeah, but I don't think they've all been sent home.
Well, they may not have been sent home, but there was like 5 in isolation. So maybe it's like 1 positive, but then like contact.
I think that's correct. I mean, they also, I was hearing today on Friends of the Show, Sound of Hockey, and they're talking about how like the World Juniors Hockey Canada like cheaped out on the planes and it ended up costing them way more money because they tried to cram everyone on.
Oh.
737s, then they had to like hire cargo planes for the luggage because with social distancing and stuff, there wasn't enough space. So, bit of a mess, but hopefully it will all work out.
Oh, well, is what it is. The World Juniors, though, you're right, leads into the end of the year. That's when training camp kicks off for the teams that didn't plan to return to summer. And then, which is what I don't get, like a December 31st training camp start for some teams. And the others are January 3rd. Like, what are the 4 days?
I missed that part. Nick?
Like, I didn't quite understand that.
I don't know. Is that like league mandated, or is it like you can choose when you start?
Well, no. So the only teams that can start on December 31st are the teams that weren't involved in the return to play.
So Detroit and Ottawa and San Jose, they can all start training a whole 3 days earlier.
Yeah.
That includes people that didn't make the playoffs, but they made.
To be fair to those teams, like they haven't touched an NHL surface like really for almost 9 months by that point. That's a long time to go without playing hockey.
But that's
so to give them 3 days is not asking like a whole lot of them.
No, I mean, I just think it's kind of obsolete. Like, what difference is a 3 days?
Also, like, is everyone going to be back in quarantine by then? You hope so.
Let's say, like, I'll use the Senators as a good example. You have players that are now coming into Canada. There is no way they can touch an ice service until at least the 3rd of January.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just the quarantine just will not allow for it. So, you know, you're right, Matt. The length of time that they've been off the ice, the few days to maybe get their skates underneath them, but it's definitely a surreal situation. The other part that is surreal is we have a Canadian division. Of which one of the 3 provinces that are sort of putting up barriers, us that being BC, seems to be the ringleader, but like Quebec and Ontario have also not signed off. So is it possible that we're going to see a Canadian bubble in like Winnipeg or Edmonton?
Well, Winnipeg,
I heard Edmonton was the leading.
Edmonton's always keen.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
But will the players sign off on that though? Because, you know, we've sort of talked about this in Discord, and Anna, you talked about it on a last episode, but Michaela Gaudette joined the broadcast for an episode like 3 episodes ago. And one of the things that she had actually shared was how the experience for players in Edmonton wasn't what they had sort of understood they were getting into. Yeah. And like she had said how Adam, once they got into the upgraded hotel, never saw the light of day because he could tunnel from the hotel to the rink and back.
No wonder the Canucks tried to like fight the move. They got asked if they wanted to move beforehand and they said no.
Yeah. So I just wonder if the players themselves would actually agree to a bubble. I there's so much that's at play, and I'm not going to suggest that there won't be a resumption of hockey. I think that's clear. It will happen. It's just what it will look like. I don't know. Like I think I genuinely wonder if players wouldn't push for a home city, not a bubble city. And if it's a home city, could that mean like what the Whitecaps had to do, where they played out of Portland? Mm. Not that I know where the Vancouver Canucks could potentially go.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, friend of the show, Chris Faber, has joined us and is posting in the comments, and he's suggesting that Ottawa makes a run for a cup with those three extra days. I mean, who knows?
Those are the hottest of takes you only get in Canucks conversation.
Yeah, we're not endorsing that take, to be clear.
Oh, man. Well, it'll be interesting. And I am like, I'm genuinely happy there'll be hockey to talk about again. And that's not me trying to get over a lot of the other conversations that I think were important, equally as important to have as it leads into hockey. It's just, you know, I've referred to it again. Hearing Mikayla talk about sort of Adam's experience helped me see things differently. And it's not to suggest that I was opposite to sort of how she felt and what she had described, but understanding the impact that the, you know, pandemic is having everyone, that, you know, the players are in a difficult situation. Like, she talked about how she's coming to Vancouver. She's leaving her family, like everything she knows, behind to a city that she can't actually go and connect with people in.
Yeah. Right?
So
it's all the beauty of Edmonton.
Yeah. I'm not knocking Edmonton, but you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter where it's, Edmonton, Vancouver, Winnipeg. Like, you know, in a situation like her and like a new player, you know, there's some who argue, oh, they're well paid. Yeah, you know what? Money isn't everything. And I couldn't imagine going through it. Like, I went to Toronto for 1 week in March and I was beside myself for a work trip. 1 week. I just don't, you know, compute.
It's tough.
Yeah. How would players deal with this?
Yeah, it's tough. I urge everyone that hasn't listened to it to listen to that perspective, because that's one thing, like legit, like intellectually getting that. But yeah, mm-hmm. to hear her perspective was really
Well, interesting. Our first special guest has arrived. So let us introduce to you someone you've probably not seen before or heard from, Clay Emo.
There he is.
Hello, friends. It's like a family reunion.
Hey, I know.
Well, Clay, you're officially the fifth most beautiful person on this show today.
Wow.
I'm going to get one of my other kids in so I can still keep that ranking.
Well, I want to point out, before I forget, happy birthday, Kayla.
Happy birthday, Kayla.
Yeah, happy birthday. 13.
Yeah, I have three teenagers in the house now, that automatically makes me way older than all of you almost combined, I think.
Now the real trouble begins, Clay. Yeah,
I know, the girl. Yeah. Thank you.
No, thanks for joining us, Clay. Over in C4 Discord, Sean or Peter Canuck, when we were talking about guests, because you saw that tweet I shared, you know, which of the two of the three are going to show up, he had commented, he's like, oh, it's like the return, it's like we called Matt the Scrooge, and it's the return of podcast host of past or whatever. So you're one of the podcast hosts past. You're gonna teach Matt a lesson.
Well, I'm not afraid to say, and I've been saying it in my vlogs today too, that always appreciative of CHB and C4 for helping me get my start in the vlogging, blogging, podcasting world. So nice to see you guys. Even Adam, like, I know it's a big deal when Adam's here. That's amazing.
Yeah. That's the miracle of Christmas.
Awesome.
But, you know, yeah, welcome. Like, I was actually thinking, I mean, we've, with CHB, like, we used to do the odd, like, holiday thing. But I think from a C4 perspective, like, last year we did a live show, three of us at, what bar was it, Anna?
200.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jaegers,
yeah. And then, but yeah, like, you're the guy who's into the holidays with your parody videos. I presume you're going to have another one this year, right? Like,
It's going to be a little different because we trying our best to really adhere and follow to the COVID rules. So Marie and I want to do something. So she's going to record from her home. I'm going to record from my home. Going to try and splice it together. Something simple, but something that I think, who's the youngest one here, by the way?
Not me.
Probably right? Anna, I think. Yeah, but not by much. Me and Adam are like...
How old are you guys, if I may?
I'm 29.
Me too. Anna, when's your birthday?
29th of April.
Oh, I'm the youngest person then.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So you guys are 29. Matt, how old are you? 30 what?
I'm older than those two.
That's what he's comfortable saying.
Apparently. But considerably younger than you and Chris.
And Chris, you're within a couple of years, right?
I think you're a year ahead of me. I think.
I'm born in 74.
Oh, a few more years. I'm 78. Okay. I thought you and I were closer. Wow.
It's a whole generation.
Yeah, well, yeah. And yeah, hockey, being a hockey fan is like dog years. So that's like 28 years, I think, between us.
Yeah, plus COVID years.
Yeah, you probably remember the 82 series. I don't. I just know it happened.
I do. All to say, the song we're doing, it's I think it came out in the 90s, so late 90s, but it's not a traditional Christmas song, but I think you guys will like it. I think Matt Lee's going to be a big fan of this one, I think.
Okay. Oh, I love every one of them usually, so I'm sure it won't disappoint.
Yeah.
But thank you. Looking forward to it.
Marie is bound to be great. And to answer your question, Anders, the eggnog's fine. I thought it was going to be horrible. It's not horrible, but the brandy in it is definitely helping.
Clay, you got to come in and tell me what you're drinking. Like, are you you got to help me. Yeah. See, there we go.
Oh, my water.
Oh, have you ever done this?
Usually on my streams, I've been drinking Pepsi, but I'm trying to cut down a little bit. I haven't lost as much. Chris, you look great, by the way. I haven't lost as much weight as, say, Chris has, but I'm trying to drink less pop for sure, so I got my water.
Like, in fairness, though, Clay, like, I had a lot to lose. Like, you know, you've done a heck of a job. Like, I remember when you were turning 40, you had worked hard and continued to work hard. So, you know, it's awesome. Ian asked a question here. I actually don't think it is. Is this the first time Clay and Adam have been on this
video? We were on the show together back when Clay was on full time.
Is the last episode that Clay and Adam had on?
Oh, God. Together? That would have been.
Would have been in the studio, would it not?
Yep. Yeah. We were in the studio together for sure. Yeah. I remember that.
Can we talk about the fact
that you had Sean on too, maybe?
Clay won't be on an episode in person with me because. When I guested on the show, both times Clay was not there. And then I replaced him on the show. And then he only came on to do the episode while I was away. So,
well, that was not intentionally.
Uh-huh.
You are the only one who met me overseas and took me around a city that I didn't know. Yes. Anna was my hostess with the Moses in London, England, about 5 or 6 years ago now. Yeah.
I took him to a pub, which is.
Okay, that's big.
Like the workplace.
He probably still ordered like a Diet Pepsi or
he bought my drink. So
two summers ago, I was in London, and I don't know if he was ever on the show, but I stayed with one Richard Loeb, one Mosey 19.
Oh, Mosey!
Wow,
throwback to old Canucks Twitter.
That's like
the birth of Canucks Twitter.
That's OG. Like when you look at Canucks Twitter talking about so and so's been around, like. Richard, like Mosey, would have been OG, and there's a handful of people. I'm not OG, but that's sort of
you're pretty close
to me.
Yeah,
and
Chris, the first time I met you was Game 5 against the Sharks in 2011 with Mosey. I think we were at 1-3-1 Water.
Oh gosh, that was 1-3-1 was the 2011.
Oh, hot new
place. It was a spot.
Yeah, like I remember. Okay. It was perfect for me too, because I just head over from Shaw Tower. I could, you know, get off work, whatever, hustle over. They set up space for us. It was great.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, Adam, you say you met Chris during the San Jose series. That's when I met him too. But one of those games was at Boston Pizza in Surrey, right? And that's when I met you and JJ. And that's when we started scheming.
Ah, there you go.
Was the Surrey episode, the Surrey, because they did like two tweet ups once. They had one in Surrey one time and then one in Vancouver. And they had Chris Palliser host over in Vancouver. They had me host in Surrey and had us compete. Was that, do you know if that would have been it? Like, cause I know
maybe
Matt around then. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for those of you that aren't familiar, JJ is the blog father. He is the one that birthed us. Like,
seems kind of weird.
That is
sounded better holidays. Before he said it.
So, Chris, you were talking about OG Twitter, and I'm not sure if this is going to come up here or if you're going to save it for your later guest, but are you guys going to talk about the Twitter explosions, or have you been already? And you're not going to worry about it tonight?
I don't know if we'll worry too much about it tonight, but it's like it is Canucks Twitter. And okay, first and foremost, I want to share my thoughts. Canucks Twitter definitely has issues. I just feel that sometimes Canucks Twitter becomes an issue unto itself that others sort of, you know, exacerbate.
Canucks Twitter can like start to eat itself sometimes.
Oh no, it definitely. I mean,
snake eating its tail for sure.
It's there's definitely there are those that throw the fuel on the fire. There are those that bring the kindling. I personally try to avoid that, but every so often I get so wound up myself that I'll make blanket statements, but I try to think, what would Clay do? Honestly, I try to think about, how do I phrase this to like be positive?
Well, Clay runs away usually. I'm very averse to conflict. But Chris, I think there's a certain, and I saw, I think Jay Hamilton tweet you about it a couple of days ago. There's a certain respect that I think you have, and some of the, not all, but some of the OG people have, and maybe, I don't know. I think it's just, we kind of pick our battles, pick our spots a little better, I think.
Well, you and I are, but like that point, you and I are a little well seasoned. Like, yeah. I'm not trying to paint Canucks Twitter with a brush here, but we're probably trending on the upper age.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. So it could be that just, you know, that experience and what have you.
I think you just got to take everything with a pinch of salt, take your breaks when you need to. Like, yep. There's some behavior that you should not tolerate, and that's the kind of stuff you speak up about. Yeah. But there's some stuff that you can just step away from and just be like, you know what? Like, I put my position forward. Like, let's leave it at that. Yeah. Like, it's not worth like taking up your mental health over how good a job Jim Benning is doing. Like,
well, I also feel like it's totally transcended that, like half of it. And granted, like, I follow you guys, I follow like the broadcast and some other people. So I don't, you know, I'm not super well versed in it, but I think it's like totally trans. It's not about the Canucks anymore. It's about the people within it. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know a lot of the personalities, but you know, I see the stuff that someone like Georgia Twist is posting, like her DMs and stuff like that. And that's where I feel like we're at with Canucks Twitter, you know, and it's for me, I just haven't been on it much. And I've unfollowed a lot of people just because what the hell's the point? You know, it's horrible.
That's a good approach.
On what Georgia shared, I like, there are some people like, oh, that's Canucks Twitter. Now that's Twitter, unfortunately, like in general, like it's not just a Canucks Twitter thing. Yeah, it's exacerbated because Canucks Twitter is what we know. But one of the things that I've really tried to do now is focus on the positive of Canucks Twitter. Like, you know, I think I've shared this before in our podcast, and I know I've talked about it on the blog and in person. How do I know the four of you? It's arguably Canucks Twitter, and I would never change that for a second. You know, Faber's here in chat, and he and Nexus are talking about seeing themselves in the gulag, which for those that don't know, Faber, Quadrelli, Ryan Beach, they did a fundraiser for Dave Norum for essentially was, yeah, Warzone, Canucks Twitter and Warzone. There's a positive there. It was huge. It was, you know, a phenomenal effort. You know, just this weekend, Daryl Keeping had shared a list of must follows. And I mean, I poke fun at him as to like, I'm holding him responsible, but that's the type of stuff that I'd like to see more of. Cause I feel that sometimes the negative gets in the way of all of the positive that can come from it. So yeah, I mean, you're right, Clay. I think, you know, yeah, it's nice that I appreciate Jay sort of out there saying, hey, you know, what have you, sir? This sad hat's getting to me. But there's so much more of that that's happening, and I think we too often miss it because of everything else that's going on.
Yep.
I want to actually go back to a question that Faber had actually asked here. I don't know if you saw it, but will Clay be singing more than Petey in this collaboration?
Well, Chris, if I may address that, as I'm watching this morning, definitely, Petey is to Buble as I am to Marie Huey. Like, we basically got the same amount of
dynamic.
Yeah, that's pretty good, right? Yeah. So, I would never say that Petey is riding Buble's coattails, but I joke around with Marie that I sometimes, let me turn that down. I'm just sometimes riding hers. We've been friends for 20 years, but actually, it's funny. Because of this whole quarantine collab we're doing, I centered the lyrics and the backing track I played. And then there are a couple of challenging timing things. So I recorded voice memo, but I didn't sing the words to Maria. I spoke them, right? I said, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then she actually wrote back. She goes, thanks, it sounds good. And she goes, but I wish you sang it. And
yeah, come on, Clay. That's coward's way out.
Get into the Christmas spirit, Clay.
I know Christmas is about giving, but I don't want to give people stomach aches listening to me. So.
I actually shared the one that you shared today on Twitter with Vertanen and Hutton. And I'd actually, the comment I had, I forgot about that one. The first time I watched that one, yeah. But when I watched it again today, you can see like they obviously drew the short straws of like the rookies, right? But Ben was making the most out of it. And Jake was, okay, I'm there. Like, that's how it came across. I'm not trying to, you know, slight Jake. It's just that you could tell he's like, okay, I'm the rookie. I know I need to do this. Whereas, like, Ben Hutton was like, oh, well, let me go and,
yeah.
That Toy Fair, we were obviously very happy and thrilled. We knew, they kept saying, we're going to try and get some players, Then I knew right away, I said to Marie, watch, they're going to get the rookies, right? So it was either, it was Hutton, Virtanen, or Jared McCann. And those were the three rookies that season. And we got, Jake and Ben. And to their credit, they're really good sports, actually. We had to do that, those takes about four or five times, typically. And I think, I want to say it was Georgia, but maybe not. Someone wrote a really funny breakdown on Canucks Army about Jake and Ben's dancing, actually.
Oh, sounds like a Grania thing.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say that is very Grania.
Yeah, very good memory, Adam. That's correct. And it was hilarious. So it was a lot of fun. Anytime we get to work with the Canucks and their people, sound, lighting, camera, editors, obviously, it's a lot better.
But there's a detriment to that. You replaced me as voice guy. So, I mean, I get it. I didn't do well enough to impress you.
No, there's
on for this forever.
Don't quite have the draw of Jake Virtanen and Ben Hutton.
I'd ask if you might do a collab with Petey one day, but now that he has such brand management, I don't know if you'll ever be able to.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough to get to him. Yeah, I'm gonna take my one song we did from 2 years ago and run. But thank you, Adam. That's true.
His hype is unreal this summer.
He's had himself talk about hot girl summer,
real blow or glow up, whatever it's called.
The Jordan Bowman dropped by, or Bowman dropped by to say Merry Holidays to everyone at C4. If you haven't seen it, I mean, we dropped in the C4 Discord. I tweeted from the C4 podcast. We actually did a Christmas story video a few years back when we did CHB TV, which was like the predecessor to what became C4 that Clay and I started. Bowman's in it, and like he reads the lines like a champ.
Oh, you could tell he knew what he was doing. Matt, you were really good in that video, I must say.
Oh,
did
yeah.
you have the line about the blind refs?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, gifts for the refs, even though they are blind.
You guys trying to get me to still know the lyrics to this, several years later. Every single Christmas, it's brand new.
I do. It's good memories, but I had contemplated this year of actually trying to go and put together something similar, thinking that now, you think back then, we had Ed set up the camera and he did all the editing and all that. Like, trying to capture something like that would have been difficult back then, whereas now everyone can Zoom.
Yeah, so, it's normal now.
Yeah, so I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool if we could go and put something like that together? It's just, I'm far too busy, obviously, with Baby Force and the holidays, work, and apparently being a podcast addict creates time constraints. So,
yeah,
sorry. Maybe next year. Oh, man.
Before Clay goes, do we want to do this? Yes. Do a Canucks pun?
Sure. Okay, Anna.
Okay, so I got in trouble last year for these being too hard. So, but I'm hoping with more people and more people joining us on live stream, someone will get them. So they are Canucks Christmas carols. It's a mixture of Canucks and Christmas songs. So hopefully with your great punning, Clay, someone will get this. Okay. Everyone ready? Yeah. This very good. This new Canuck and his hard-shelled pals had a little trouble at the border where they were stuck far la 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 long time.
Are we supposed to guess who it is?
Yeah, but you have to guess the whole thing. So it's like a mixture of a song and a Canuck.
Oh, that's right.
Deck the halls with boughs of Holtby.
Braden Holtby. Deck the halls with Braden Holtby.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the whole thing, but yeah, well, that's good enough. Good job.
Very good. Very good.
Okay. Good teamwork, guys. We'll save we'll save more for later, but.
Anna, when we release our song later this week, we have a line about tortoises as well. So make sure you look out for it.
Perfect. I mean, that was the story to keep us interested on Canucks Twitter for a while.
It's a lot more peaceful than what's happened the past week, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. We're learning.
Yeah. Well, I think Sam might be coming in. Perfect. Even though I let the cat out of the bag. I just need to figure out how to get her to join.
Okay. Like magic of the internet.
Yeah, here, let me. Nope, so many, maybe not.
Do I bounce when she comes in? Or
No, you can stay. I heard the little beep, but I don't see her. Well. So I let the cat out of the bag. Yeah, Sam will be joining us soon. I don't see her, so maybe.
Okay.
Keep going.
Do I need to back the chat?
There she is. There she is. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Hi, Sam.
Hi.
Hey, Sam. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
So do you have a holiday beverage there?
I have a gin and tonic.
Lovely. We have eggnog and Adam has whiskey.
Amen. Sam, I don't believe we met. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, this is Adam, who is constantly unfit to podcast.
Except when we have a party, so now he's there.
Yeah, I mean, it seems reasonable enough.
And Sam, we've never met in person, but we tweet DM every single day in a good way. Nice to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you, Clay.
But two of the nicest people from Canucks Twitter right here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nice.
Clay, you're nice. Clay's nicer than everyone, so like, there's no competition on that front, but...
I'm more of like a selective nice.
I think you're nice to people who are nice to you.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. So I let the cat out of the bag that you were joining us. Like, I've tried to keep guests close to heart. The only one that I shared that was joining us was Clay. But, you know, again, we already said that. Thanks for joining us for our holiday live show. Crazy times. Like, I mean... We wanted this live show to be a whole lot of fun and good cheer. But it's been tough, hasn't it? Ish. I'm not trying to, you know, put you on the spot here, but I'm curious. Is it fair for us to just forget all that and talk about good times? Okay, please, thank you. I'm making this awkward.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the season starting soon? Because it's like, what, less than what we said, less than a month. 3 weeks now? 3.5 weeks?
About 3 weeks, yeah.
Sam?
I feel like I'm stuck in some kind of weird time warp where I have no sense of, like, when things are happening or what is happening. Like, I find it really hard to believe that Christmas is in 4 days. Mm-hmm. So I haven't quite wrapped my head around the season starting yet. It doesn't feel real.
Yeah, and well, neither has the NHL. Like, no one knows how it's going to happen. They're just like, it's happening. We'll just figure out how later on. Mm-hmm. Seems reasonable.
I think the part that is helping is the fact that the World Juniors exist and sort of will be that entry in the transition. But I want to, you know, I've already called attention of those in the show. How revolutionary listening to Michaela Gaudette talk about sort of the hockey experience, the player experience, the experience for the families, and specifically her, you know, throughout the pandemic season, and how now I'm almost questioning, like, is this truly not necessary? Like, I love that it's coming, hockey's coming back. It's just at the same time, do I, as a person, am I okay with everything they have to go through? Like, I'm almost conflicted, I guess. Like, I want to encourage everyone who hasn't listened to it to listen to your, at least that episode, listen to your show. I love your show, as we've talked about. But that episode, next level. It's also now got me all upset about the experience that Michaela and Adam are going through on the return to Vancouver.
Oh my God, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. If people don't know, they had a heck of a time getting here, and now apparently the place they're in had a leak while... for months or something. So,
well, that's the thing. If you like have a different home every 6 months or so, like, stuff happens and then you have to just deal with it. So it's,
yeah, and then you might not even play here too, you know. So
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, it's kind of tough if you like move your entire life to one city and your partner and whatever, and it's far from their family, and then it's like, okay, but I'm not here even. So
yeah.
Mikhail is just Chris, one example.
You make a good point too about like everyone's got a different, even if it's not a vested interest, a different opinion. There are season ticket holders. There are people who are families. There are people whose livelihood depends. So yeah, for every person that says, I'm so excited they're coming back, there's others saying, does this make sense? Short season, why not? You know, there's GMs that probably don't even agree. It's so, and owners, I should say, it's so crazy. And I think that's going to be the storyline for the, one of the storylines for the next month as we gear up and ramp up, right?
I mean, yeah, because, you know, from my selfish point of view, was it better for my mental health when hockey was back? Yeah, like that was normality to me. But do I want that at the cost of like all these players, mental health, physical health? Yeah, all these other factors. Yeah, maybe not. That's not worth the cost.
And there's so much behind the scenes that we don't think about that it takes for them to be able to play. Like obviously the wives and partners and kids and things like that, but also for non-players, like trainers, coaches, all the staff at the rink who make it work. Like they're not getting paid millions of dollars, but they're going to have to be part of the process. And that's a lot. That's a lot to put on people.
Yeah. Just bringing in a comment out of chat here. Like Anders had said, how, you know, what the cadets are giving us, like we refer to not Adam specifically, but sort of that caliber player as Jags, just a guy. Like we think about it as just a hockey player, but they're actually adding in my opinion, what Anders is saying is this face, they actually almost are sharing with us things that we don't all have not really considered. And then Sam, to what the point you said, we often just think about players. That's it. Like, we don't think about their families. We don't think about the coaches, the staff, the support, the trainers, and all of that. Everyone is involved, and they have to go through a lot. And I don't think that's to take away from anything. I think for some reason or another, so many people are going through tough situations, but for some reason when it comes to professional sports, it's like we flip that switch to no longer think about that.
Yeah,
I think that applies to a lot more than just COVID, be it social issues or anything. I totally agree. And it is a conflict, you know, like morally, I want to say cancel the season or whatever. And same thing happened before the bubble. But as soon as it started, like, of course, I'm going to be on the couch cheering everybody on. Right. So I don't know. I have a really hard time balancing that. And I don't know if there's a right answer to that yet, at least.
Yeah. I mean, you're right.
Oh, well.
But yeah, it's good to have more awareness, which I think we are doing, and hopefully that'll make us have better practices. I have less faith in the powers that be putting into practice those sort of better thoughts and things, but I'm hoping that there's a better awareness from a fan perspective, at least. Like,
and there's a tricky pocket too, because as content creators, we never want the season just to go on simply for our podcast or our vlogs or whatever, but it obviously makes a big difference. So Sam, I truly, and I've said this to you privately too, I'm impressed that you guys, you know, are bringing up more than just simple standings and line changes and line combo issues. You're talking about real issues. And that's why I think your podcast has done so well when there hasn't been any hockey to talk about. And so I want to give kudos to you that way. Whereas for me, I'm dying to come up with content every single day because I only talk about the stuff that happens on the ice.
I mean, I don't know. I think you've branched out a bit over the last 6 months, and it's been really interesting to see.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Still riding Marie's coattails. We were talking about that just before you got on.
Yeah.
Well, I saw that picture that you tweeted out. It was like Marie and I think it was Quinn Hughes, was it, that picture?
Yeah,
like,
very funny. Yeah.
You know, the tweet was supposed to be you and someone famous, not someone famous you have a picture of.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, story of my life.
If you haven't seen the picture on Twitter, go to Clay's Twitter account at Canuck Clay. You'll see what I'm referring to. That's burning question. Are you ready for the holidays, Sam? It's 4 days away, as you said.
No. So I have put together, I like do a hamper every year. I put together a hamper this year. So I've taken care of that, and that I'm really excited about. And then last night, as I was like wrapping the stuff for the hamper, I was like, I actually haven't gotten anything. Like, I haven't gotten anything for Jeff, my husband. I haven't gotten anything for any of my nieces. And I was like, well, I don't know. 4 days is a lot of time. Like,
Yeah, honestly, the fact that I'm done as of today or yesterday, and that's that's the earliest I've ever been done ever.
That's amazing.
I'm usually buying up till
if it makes you feel any better, I'm right there with you. Like, 4 days is like an eternity in 2020. So I think you have tons of time still. So.
Well, this for me, I finished on Friday. I don't think I can remember the last time I wasn't shopping the week leading up, right? I'm doing stocking stuff on Christmas Eve. I'm the guy that's hitting 7-Eleven at 9 o'clock at night because what other options do I have?
I mean, so usually I would be home for Christmas. So I kind of have to be done at a certain time. It's usually, now or the 22nd. But this, to get stuff to the UK and shipped out, I had to be super organized. And I was super organized. I got stuff sent to the, not the people it was for, but other people so that they could wrap it and be ready. And then yesterday, the whole of the southeast of the country went into lockdown. So no one's seeing each other now. So I'm just someone else has your present, but you'll get it at a different time.
That's the thing. Even no matter how early you are this year, I finished shopping a couple weeks ago, but half the purchases were online, and I have no idea if they're going to get here out there. 50-50 at best.
Well, comment from Avery Sports Show here. This is the year where everyone gets a gift card.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair for 2020.
I actually contemplated that, and I'm like, it's not like I can't get stuff. I can order it in. I actually went shopping. Baby Force and I went out and did a little shopping together. For a 3.5-year-old, she was phenomenal. I was concerned how she would handle it because obviously wearing a mask and following the lines, much better than most people. But I found it almost the most pleasant experience simply because there were fewer people. Now, I don't know. Maybe this is what it's
like. Where'd you go, Chris?
Well, I went out to Tawasin Mills, which in fairness is big, expansive, and around the holidays it's been, but it's generally less full. Richmond Center, because it's nearby. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, I made the mistake of going downtown and I ran into the anti-masker march. It was bad.
I had to go to Metrotown to get some work gift cards for various people, and that was a nightmare. So I lucky you went to Tawasin Mills where it was empty, but I don't think that's a universal thing. It's pretty terrible still, and pretty horrible place to be, especially when everyone is so close together.
Tomorrow morning, Gil and I are doing our Costco run, but we live in Richmond, as you guys know, so there's no way I'm going to that place. We're going to go downtown. When I work downtown, I work 5 minutes from the downtown Costco. It's awesome. Yeah, you got to pay $2 for parking, but it is never busy. I probably just jinxed myself.
I live right above that Costco, and it is a dream. We just walk in, walk out all the time.
Yes. Well, I'm going to come see you around 10 o'clock tomorrow morning then, if that's cool.
Sounds good, man.
It's funny, Clay, you mentioned Costco. I think you and I were chatting how I was going first thing Saturday morning. I would sometimes have to line up and I'd get in. And you had said go around dinner time. So what I started to do is on days where I had to pick up Baby Force from daycare, she and I would hit Costco Thursday night, dinner time. It was a breeze. Last week I went on Thursday. It was not a breeze. I was able to get in, but it's the first time I actually had to line up to pay. And we had lined up almost to the freezers.
Yeah.
And then I got directed to the self-checkout, which at Costco isn't really a self-checkout. It's still a person that does it. Is what it is. We actually had a show question from Anders. What's your Christmas wish list for the Canucks?
A really, really, really cheap second line winger.
Okay.
We have one. His name's Jake Virtanen.
Yeah. Not cheap enough, I would say.
Matt?
Anyone else?
I mean, while we're wishing for things, I'd wish for the Stanley Cup, but we're wishing for things, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Adam?
That's a great question. I would just like to have a season that doesn't want to make me pull my hair out. That's all.
All right, fair.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Clay?
They need health. I don't think they're deep enough anywhere. One or two injuries on either position. You mean goaltending? They're going to be in trouble, so they need health.
Sam?
Can I just wish for the entire fourth line to disappear and be replaced magically?
You'd fit in on C4. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, when your Jags aren't Jags, you're doing something wrong.
I want for them to be providing us the same style of play and production we saw in the return to play. Like, maybe a little bit more than sort of what we got against Vegas, because obviously production was starting to wane there. But like what we saw there was definitely a spark, and my hope is that that continues. We got another show question here. This one from Faber, and I apologize if I missed others. What's your top six look like? Lots of different options. Leave it to Faber to actually really want us to get into the analysis.
I know.
What's your top six look like?
I mean, I'll go first and say that the lotto line, almost certainly starts the season.
Okay, there's one.
Yeah. And then we've got Bo, Tanner, and another. I mean,
I think that's the only area of intrigue at this point, right?
That's the thing. Like, who knows? Could be Sven Berchi playing his way onto a second line spot. I think that's a pretty long reach, but I also think it's a reach to say that Jake is permanent second line material. He would have to show up and just be.
I'm going for option C, Nils Höglander in the top six at some point throughout the year.
You think so?
I mean, I'd love to see it. I don't think it's going to start that way for sure, but I think that could end that way.
Yeah.
Faber wants names, Anna.
Well, I mean, I gave names. I just don't have one answer. I think it'll be a rotating spot. Like Louis, Jake. maybe Höglander, but really, I don't think that's going to be a realistic start to a season anyway.
This is going to make me want to pull my hair out.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. I think Höglander, especially if there's a taxi squad type scenario, they don't want to put Höglander in that. They'd rather him play a full season in Utica, presuming they have an AHL full season, which we don't know.
Before we continue, we're actually going to add to our top six and make it a seven, because guess who just showed up? It is the Stanchion himself.
Hey, it's me.
Wow. Welcome, Wyatt.
Look at the Buffalo Sabres classic jersey. Yeah. And he's got the Bills hat on.
All Buffalo. On right now. it's another city that's heartbreak.
Good week for Buffalo fans, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Wyatt and I co-own a Mark Messier jersey that...
It is our burden of the world.
In a garbage bag in my apartment.
That's where it belongs.
Why do you have joint custody of a Messi?
Does the jersey get visitation rights with one of you on certain weekends and stuff like that?
It's only used for humiliating other people. So whoever has a need for it gets to use it.
Yeah, it's a weapon we use when people have been bad, including ourselves. So.
So if I have someone in my fantasy football league who's coming last, can I use that jersey to bestow shame upon them?
It's the exact purpose. That's what this jersey is for.
All right.
See, the system works.
The person who lost our fantasy hockey pool has agreed to do the sun run next year in the Messier jersey.
Wow. That is cool. I would not enter such a pool.
Yeah. So is this where it came from? Like a fantasy punishment? Is that how it came about?
Yes.
Yeah. So on Twitter was offered it up to us, and we just both jumped at the chance. I think we both had the same idea of using it as punishment. And so now it's definitely joint custody. It mostly was fantasy kind of based things, but it can be used for anything, really.
All right.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Vancouver that is based. The 2020 of jerseys.
Yeah.
Wyatt, break it out. If our roller hockey league ever gets going once again, bring it out.
Oh, jeez. If we had to wear that every time we lost the finals, I'd be wearing it all the time. No, thank you. No, thank you.
At least you guys make the finals.
Yeah, that's true. I don't. It's not a good thing.
Wow. I didn't expect roller hockey, trash talk to be coming out.
It's how Wyatt and I met, actually. Aside from the vlogging and the podcasting, that's how we play roller hockey. But their team wipes the floor with us for sure.
We're very Vancouver centric as well, though, because we always choke in the finals. So we won once in our entire history, and it's just I don't get into it.
You're holding up the standards of Vancouver hockey.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. Speaking of Messier jerseys, Andrew shared a fun fact. Buddy of his lives in Edmonton has an Orca Messier signed by Mark.
Okay, now you got to be careful because Messier might sue him to get that jersey back. He's very litigious, so just be very careful.
Yeah, I kind of believe that. Like, seriously? Like, just expecting everything he touches to turn to gold.
It's always the same thing. It's like, I've improved the value of this dramatically. I'm like, dude, did you really improve, like, a cannabis company in 2020? I don't think you did.
Yeah. I think they did their own work there.
Yeah.
We didn't finish the who's in the top six question because I wanted to, to get the stanchion in instead of just waiting in the – I don't know what it looks like in the weight room when you can't join, so –
I can see you all. I'm just kind of faded out like Marty McFly in Back to the Future. Like, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not.
Okay, well, I made sure your parents kissed at the...
Thank you.
Yes. You know, under the sea dance or whatever
it is. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Adam, who's in your top six?
God, I don't know. I want to say... I don't know. My gut... I don't want to say it, but my gut says Louis's going to be there to start the season.
See, I don't get any indication that that would be the case.
Well, it's how the season ended.
Was he in the top six?
Didn't he end up there when Toffoli got injured again? It was just Louis kind of popped back in for a bit? I can't remember.
I don't know. It gives me some reason.
Travis Green's break glass in case of emergency weapon.
Well, like if it's a depth issue, that makes sense. I just, even when he came into the lineup for the Toffoli injury, I don't recall him being in the top six. For some reason, I had him on the third line.
Nah, he was playing with Bo for half the playoffs.
Are we sure Bo didn't get dropped to the third line for some silly reason?
I mean, who knows?
Yeah. Clay?
I think if they don't sign anyone, I don't know. I could see Jake playing with Bull and Pearson to start off, but I think Hoglander has a shot maybe join the team later in the season, and I know we're all waiting for Pakolzin's season to end. But to start the season, I wouldn't be surprised if Virtanen's there on the right, even for a little bit.
How about you, Sam?
I want to start by saying to Chris Faber that if anyone saw the video on the broadcast Twitter this morning where I was basically like, I can't remember the names of anyone on the team.
Oh.
This is a really mean question for me.
So this could actually be him trying to get you, but doing it like next level by introducing the question for us to ask. Totally, potentially.
That's next level evil. I would have loved to see Tyler Toffoli in the top six.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't we have all?
I think Tyler Toffoli would have been like to have been in the top six.
Yeah. That was fun. You know what? I'm going to have to say Jake as well.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but I don't like any of the options.
So. No, it's the only answer we have.
There you go.
How about you, Stanch? Where do you have the top six panning out?
I don't think they're going to start with a lot of line. I think Bess is going to help that second line out. I think it's Jake's time. I think Tyler Myers has got him on a diet. He's got him running again. I think Ken Ur's wings is going to come in. I do hope, like, if Jake does come in, I hope he comes in, like, in the best shape of his life. Clearly, this is his best chance he's going to have with Toffoli going. So I'm hoping he takes it seriously. And we've seen it before, kind of like Cassian's career. Obviously, it was a bit different what happened with him, but his kind of went off the rails. And he kind of found it back a bit. Mm-hmm. There's a point in your life where, like, maybe you kind of realize this could be, like, my last chance to really have that impact. And if, say, he does love playing in Vancouver, like, you have to think that he sees it could be his last chance here to kind of make that impact he wants. So I'm going to give a bit of faith in Jake, and I think he's going to at least start the season in the top six, at least show up at training camp in shape for once.
This is his best shot for sure. Like, it's just like they're auditioning for a top six spot, and they've said, okay, you like have at it. And they've given him a mentor and new stepdad, Tyler Myers. So,
yep.
So, and I was actually, that was what I was going to point out, is he has someone who's, it's kind of like what the Sedins sort of did in what happened to, not so much happened to the Sedins, different situation, but you have players that teach you how to prepare, how to come in, get on the ice skating hard. I think Jake is going to have a stellar season. For those who are in C4 Discord, Hercules, I don't know if you're still there in chat. This might be your year, buddy. For those that don't know, he will go to the ends of Earth for JV18.
Chris, over under on goals 17.5.
For Jake?
Yeah.
I'm smashing the over.
I'm gonna go over.
Over. Right.
Yeah, if he's a Vancouver Canuck and he's healthy, 56 games.
50, 56 games?
Oh, no, right. 56 games. Crap.
No, you know, I think it's if the second, if it's a second line, and if he's there and he stays there, I can see that, because that probably also means he's getting in special teams.
I don't know. I was just thinking if he's getting power play time or not.
I think you'd see him on the second
line. I think he would get power play time by default, just because there are so few options.
But yeah, no, okay. Yeah, now that I think he had 56 games, maybe not, but I had committed to the over, so I'm going to say yes.
All right.
Yeah, I'm highly doubting now I remembered 56 games. This is best shot. It's his best shot for sure.
Anyone else with an over or an under?
I think he's sorry, 17 on the dot. 17 on the dot.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, Anna, I think we're due for holiday puns.
All right. Okay, well, we got enough people here now, so hopefully someone will get one of these. I should try and pick an easier one. All right, so these are my Canucks Christmas carols. It's a mixture of a Christmas song and a Canuck jammed together, like super punny style. All right, there's a good chance I used one of these last year, but bear with. All right, this up-and-coming Utica D-man is about the right age to appreciate this millennial pop Christmas banger. Tell me, does he get a spot on the team this year?
I know who it is. I just don't know the pun.
Tell me, does he get a spot on the team this year?
So there's a Christmas carol to be had here.
Sutner, tell me.
Sutner, tell me. Good job.
I would not have gotten that.
Well done, Faber.
That was really good. I really expected like Faber to get that one.
I don't know if I know that song.
Quads are obsessed with it. It's Ariana Grande.
Okay.
You've heard it, Adam. You've heard it.
I'm sure I have.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not that killed me. That's Ariana Grande, not Christmas related. Where is it?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's called Santa Tell Me.
It's called Santa Tell Me.
I imagine it's Christmas related.
Sure, Santa Tell Me. I don't know. Whatever. I'm old.
Okay, I do have ones based on older songs. Do you want an older one?
I'm probably not old enough, but let's go ahead.
Okay. Okay. It's starting to seem like. Actually, yeah, it's beginning to look a lot like this veteran center is better in the room than on the ice.
You want to read that one back again?
Yeah, I'll go slower. It's starting to seem like, no, it's beginning to really look like this veteran center is a lot better in the room than on the ice.
No,
it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Yeah, Adam.
Thank you.
Good job.
Sorry to
that
say.
That one's a stretch with the like.
This is why C4 is the longest running podcast. It's this type of content.
Chris, why do you always put that in quotes on Twitter? I'll never understand that.
Well, okay. Actually, thank you for asking. I put it in quotes because I'm pretty sure we are. I just don't know for certain. Like I was thinking like, okay, I'll use like Stanchier, for instance. I mean, you and Bowman have been podcasting, I want to say as long as I have.
It's 2012.
The difficulty is, do I count? Cause you have a couple podcasts.
Yeah. And they had a break. They don't count anymore.
That wasn't a break. It was, you know, thinking about life for a bit. And we switched. You guys are way more consistent than us. We're not consistent at all. So,
and so like that, it's stuff like that. And then like, I know like Pucks on Net, we have them beat by like a couple of months. Like Clay and I started this the end of June in 13. Was it Clay? Do you remember?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. And then, Pucks on Net, they started that September, so we had a couple months on them. And then from there, there's been many that have come and then many that have pod faded. So I say longest running because if someone were to say, no, you're not, and here this is, I can say there's an asterisk. It's the quotation marks.
I think we own it, though. I think we
a thorough explanation. I think longest we running.
Just own it.
Well, like Faber goes out and tweets out like, oh, we've got like, we're this, we're that, we're, you know, top 10 in the world. And we're out there tweeting out we're top 10 in Moldova. So,
hey, we're huge in Andorra. So, Angola.
Who are you?
I do think at this point you might as well just run with longest running. Like, no one's corrected you.
It could be no one's corrected me because I'm not relevant.
Well, then, like, take that. Like, we'll take it.
That's why I've added, like, we're the longest running best mediocre Canucks.
Okay. Also, can I just say that Georgia Twist has come up with a way better Canucks pun?
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Yeah, it didn't take long, Anna, for someone
She's
to
She's only
talk
saying
to
that because we literally forgot he was in our potluck section.
Even after you interviewed poor Tyler.
Has Tyler's been replaced now? Like, or has he still got like a special place? Like, here at C4, we have friends of the show. And essentially, qualification is you guest. So, like, everyone here is now a friend on the show. Whereas broadcast, I mean, you had Mock Girl Summer, Tyler Mott was it, and then you had Michaela Gaudet, and you just keep knocking out of the park. So how does that work? Is there a hierarchy in guests there?
I like to treat all of our guests equally.
Uh-huh.
God, you give such uncomfortable questions, Chris. Don't make people ask.
We do have, like,
their guests.
I do. I'm awkward.
I feel like I might be jinxing this, but we have, like, we have a few guests possibly lined up that will be really good, but I'm not allowed to say. And also, I think I might have just jinxed us. So it may just never happen.
No. Yeah, but do you guys bring Clay on every once in a while? Like,
yeah, obviously.
No, they don't need to. They get, sorry, I mean, sure.
I might be too old for their demographic.
So. Yeah. It's funny. Me and Dave Nordham, big fans of obviously what Sam and them are doing, but I like how Dave always says in a good way, fun way, that he's kind of like not their target audience, but he loves everything that they do, and rightfully so. So it's pretty cool.
Dave is totally our target audience. Target audience is just like people who want to have a good time and want to be inclusive and are just like good people.
Yeah,
totally. Awesome. I mean, I'm not even the target audience for my own podcast, so like, they wouldn't worry about it too much.
What are you talking about? I don't.
Based on the adverts that we do.
Well, I'm sorry, but I still do not know why your Manscaped ad did not go. That was not my decision. I submitted it.
I'm still hurting about that.
I'm sorry. I wish I could make it up for you. Do you have such problems on your show there, Stange?
That would require us advertising or getting sponsors. So I have no idea what you guys are talking about. We're still looking for Werther's to come to us. So yeah, I think we're not good at doing the hustle. Like, look at the Canucks conversation. They're so good at hustling and that stuff. I always respect them.
Well, they're giving out like neutral vodka jerseys and like Mike's Hard right now or something.
Yeah. Like they're doing such a good job. Like, I wish I'd had that kind of hustle in me when I started up, but like, I just don't have it. So like, I just appreciate what they do. So like, that's a guard. We're pretty, you know, we have a small community of people that have listened to us for a long time. We love that. And like, that's kind of what we've talked about. Like, you know, people love us. That's awesome. And like, I think if we did go bigger, we'd lose a lot of what makes us kind of what we fun of what we do. Like, we've talked before, like, hey, like we've talked to TSN and that stuff, but like, there's a lot of stuff in place where it'd be like, it would make us run of the mill, and we're not good enough to be run of the mill. Like, nothing against that. Like, some people are really good at, very professional, very like front forward, and I can't do that style because obviously, like, I just want to make fun of Bowman the entire time. So like, that's our dynamic. So for us, like, I think our small, you know, kind of sample size is what we want, and so it's kind of, yeah, that's the fun I get out of it. It's kind of like getting to talk to people and people like who've been there the entire time, just, you know, having the inside jokes and all that jazz over the years.
So I want to ask another very awkward question. I know it's what I do.
Yeah.
If you're a podcast that goes mainstream,
yeah,
are you still a podcast?
What? Oh.
So like, for instance, I would argue that your 650 and your 1040 shows, because they all produce podcast content. Listen to the show live or tune in on your favorite, you know, podcast player. If you're a podcast that goes mainstream, because we've seen this happen, like Halford and Bruff is a great example. I mean, these guys are phenomenal. I enjoy listening to them, but they were podcasters that gone professionals. We don't consider them podcasters anymore, do we?
This is a great question. I'm going to use this opportunity to take a bathroom break, though. So,
think about that. Yeah, I mean, and the reason I ask, we got power players here. We've got C4 and three, you know, content creators that are leaders and examples for us to aspire to.
It's almost like the blogger writer question in a sense, like, when you start being a blogger and that stuff. So there's like a level of like probably nuance there that I mean, I think with Halford Bruff, like if you're on the radio and like the radio just takes that and puts it on the podcast, you're probably viewed as a radio guy like Halford Bruff are now. Yeah, I guess really, I guess if you're just asking my gut feeling as podcasters are still people trying to make their way kind of in their own independent way in the world, whereas I feel like people on the radio kind of have more of a mainstream, someone over their shoulder type of thing. So, because like Joe Rogan, biggest podcast in the world on Spotify, he's a podcaster to us, right?
Yeah.
So I think there is a level of like probably mainstream has more of a corporate touch to it, if I would say.
Yeah. Well, and that's like I just want to point out, I'm not taking away from someone who is then on sort of mainstream, like if you're on radio or what have
you.
Oh,
no, not at all.
Like to me, there's sort of a difference. And that's, you know, I'll use like, well, I mean, somebody's yourself, but like Harrison Mooney, for instance, even PJ, Daniel, like these are from sort of my blogger, our blogger area. These are people who have successfully done their job so well that they've now gone up and aspired and got these positions. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just this sort of, are you still that blogger? And maybe that's a good point. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. It's, who are we to decide?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, it's such a weird thing because when I first started writing, like back in the days of the contest, like I was a lot looser and more, like I'm always a bit jokey based, but I was a bit more kind of like, I would take more risks if you want to say. And once you kind of get into the like, oh, now that you're working with the province, we're working with the Athletic, like they do have restrictions on you and you can't do as much. And I know stories of other guys who have made it along with me who are like, oh yeah, I got in trouble for doing that. And the Canucks said like, you know, they don't necessarily threaten you with revoking your access, but it's kind of like hinted at, a little wink, you know, be ashamed if you lost that press pass. Okay, I get it, right? So there's definitely a level, especially if, like if you're coming in, like some of the hardest things at Daily Hive and you know Canucks are, I'm sure, can attest, trying to get access to Canuck room when you're not like, you know, the province, like it was so tough,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, they want to be able to lay out someone if you do something wrong and they don't trust the blog, which is fair enough. I'm sure there's some level to it, but like it's really tough to get in there. So I've definitely changed my style over the years of like being a little bit less free flowing and like kind of like just taking a joke. I have to think about it a lot, but yeah, I mean, it's kind of that kind of just goes into what you're talking about. Like, I think like there's just a change when you're working for a more mainstream thing that even me, one of the guys who's like, I'm super unprofessional in that sense. I'm very like, whatever. Like, look at my armies. I'm doing fucking, sorry, I swore. I'm so sorry. I don't know your rules here.
It's just a live show. It's a check. Okay, okay. Don't apologize to us.
Apologize to Clay.
Sorry, Clay. That's TTV. That's a TTV show stuff.
No, we're good. We're good.
The fudging. Yeah. So, you know, I just have to, like, right there, I have to adapt for your show. Like, I just have to adapt certain things. And even now with the Athletic, like, the editors there, they edit it a lot harder than the province ever used to. Province said, go ahead, do what you want. As we could all saw, like when me and Botch would put in articles, tons of mistakes. Now they'll edit it. And like, we had like, sometimes they'll take out jokes. I'll get so mad about it. So it's like, it's a different beast now, but that's like what happens right when you go up the ladder.
But like people go to your armies for different things than like Drance's armies. It's not to say that yours is like the joke armies or like not real, but like it's different. And I think that's what people enjoy, that it's different.
Yeah, it's definitely a different style. And like, it's, you know, coming into it when Botch did his thing, obviously I can never recreate that, never want to try. But the one thing I want to kind of recreate is the involving the community, involving what's going on Twitter and kind of that whole community aspect. And I'll obviously do my pop culture fun references because that's just how, that's, if you ever ask me what's your natural way of writing, that would be it. Because I always like, remember Bill Simmons, I first read his books a long time ago, like on the Red Sox, and I was blown away that someone could speak about sports, like if you're talking to someone in a locker room. I'm like, this guy's professional and he gets to do this. And I was like, this is amazing, right? That's what I want to do. So that'll always be my style. Like I was like, I think when you first get in the business, like back in the contest days, I was writing articles all the time. And like, you know, if you're writing every day trying to get noticed, you're writing for work. And like, look, if you don't have a good idea in mind, you'll still force an article out because you're trying to work, you're trying to produce content. And I've gotten to the point now where I just want to do things that I enjoy because I'm luckily in a good spot where I can do that. And the Army is a perfect vehicle for that, where it's like, it doesn't feel like I'm just producing work for the sake of doing work. It's kind of like art to me in that sense. So like I'm really privileged to be in the spot I'm in.
Chris, can I ask a guest on guest question? Is that okay?
Oh yeah. That's because as you can see, the way I ask questions, there ain't no rules.
Wyatt, actually it's funny, Chris, just before you asked that podcasting question, Wyatt, I was going to ask you, since you started working for writing, I should say, for the Athletic, do you now have to change the way you approach your article even before you write it? Or do you just kind of still do your thing, but know that there's going to be more kind of edits and more, you know, creative feedback back? You know, I always find that nuance really interesting.
Yeah, I think if you, I mean, I follow the rules pretty good in life. I'm generally like very like laid back and I don't try and push many buttons. I just don't like, I'm not confrontational as a person. But when it comes to my articles, I will go like tooth and nails for it because it's like, that's what the people expect from me. And this is me on a paper. So if I put my article in and they edit it out and all of a sudden it's a different article, then I get really mad because it's like, say I want to get a job somewhere else. And I'm like, well, your articles didn't do so well because that's not like, take it for example, the playoffs last year, they let me go all out. They're like, do what you want. And that was the first time they didn't like edit everything because they didn't have time. So I got to do my real style. And obviously the playoffs helped because everyone's excited about winning, but like that was a bit better feedback in that sense. So I will fight and I'll put it through what I want. And then unfortunately I hate reading my own stuff, but I'll read through it and I'll see jokes are gone and I'll complain to my editor and they'll complain to their editor. Like it's a whole political stuff where everyone's like fighting and stuff because then it makes sense. So if you're an editor at The Athletic, you're there and a lot of them have like actual, like I work in the New York Times, I work here, like these places that are like very journalistic, very heavy in that stuff. They see this guy with these weird riffs that of a market they don't quite understand because they're from the East. Like, what is this guy talking about? They just take it out. And because for them, if a joke gets through that gets them in trouble, that's on them, right? So I understand from their end that it makes sense that they want to protect themselves, but they also have to understand that the armies and the privies and the athletes where it came from is a very special, unique article.
Yeah.
And our market is very interesting. So you can't do what they're doing. Like our market is fine with these jokes that we're doing. And I've never gone to the point where I'm like, I'm going to try and do like, get like an edgy racist joke in there. That's never been my style anyway. So I want them to kind of trust me. Like I'm just doing weird pop culture. Like I made a joke once. Here's the weirdest story. I made a joke once about Brian Allen, who used to be a Canuck, and he was always very injury prone. And I made a joke about that in the armies. So an editor who's never heard of Brian Allen Googles it. And there was this really unfortunate case of a kid whose mom died named Brian Allen. And he thought I was making fun of that. And so he ripped out and he says, like, how could you do that? And I'm like, what, Brian Allen? Like, what's, he's just a player, man. Like he got injured a lot. And we didn't talk about it directly. So for like a month, he thought I was this big a-hole who was like, I'm going to do a joke about some kid's mom who died. I'm like, no, that's not what I did. But that's what happens. You got a guy who doesn't know this market, doesn't know the players. You can have those kind of, you know, disconnects. So it's definitely been an interesting journey compared to what it was when the province.
Well, I'm actually curious because, like, you know, when you talk about we have the Proveys, the armies. If we go see predecessor of that, like CHB, pump our own tires. We had TGAT, Liz Moffitt started up the game according to Twitter. Daniel and Harrison had I watched this game. Like you had that sort of short form style. And I think even PJ had something similar. Is that something that exists in other markets to the extent? Because it pretty much everyone had a form of, you know, post game. Or I watch this game, however which you look at it, similar, short form, pulling concepts from Twitter, inside jokes. And it's almost like we all sort of talk to each other. Like, we got the culture.
Yeah, like Vancouver is such a weird market that people just don't get. And it always has been very, very internet savvy. It's kind of been at the front. It's a very strong internet community. Like, I think when the province, like, kind of, they kind of got that vibe from people. So that's when they first introduced the province. It was initially just a short form in the paper. Mm-hmm. And they had it rotating between, like, Kuzma and Willis and stuff. And obviously, their styles didn't work with it until Botch kind of saw how the market was working. Like Botch is really good at recognizing things that were working and taking off with it. So he ran with it. And you're right. Like there is something with this market where like, we're just like, even Friedman will talk about it, how just weird we are and how like we will have the weirdest fights, but if someone goes after us, we all kind of band together to kick him out the door.
I mean, like, don't forget that Botch came from outside too. And he just like immersed himself in the market and totally understood what was it all about. Cause I think we are weird. We're out in the West by ourselves. Like we're not near any other city in Canada. Yeah. And like, we're constantly thought of as like trodden upon and all that, so like it's part of our brand.
Before we bring
something, when the TSN guy or a Sportsnet guy will say something on air and then right away he'll say, okay, now I'm gonna get all the Canucks fans coming at me, because for better or worse there is that reputation that we're passionate, we know our stuff, and we don't mind going at each other and others.
Before we bring in our next guest though, just on Botch, do you know that Botch in his early days was actually blocking people on Twitter? I remember going to a social media meeting that like Kevin Kinghorn at the Canucks was running, like to get their fan zone going, and Botch was sitting in the press box. And so for all of us, like, oh my God, it's Jason Botchford. This is awesome. Like we were awestruck because Botch is just sitting down in press row and the Canucks are practicing the ice. And then it became like, oh, he blocked me. And I remember Richard Mosey 19 was like, yeah, I don't know why he blocked me. And so the big thing was he had not blocked me, which goes to the point where I kind of feel I wasn't relevant enough and maybe, you know, but then he got it. Once he figured it out, man, I don't think Botch blocked anyone. In fact,
I remember being like the moment he followed me, I was in Willesden Junction Station in Northwest London on the way to work. And I got this like notification being like, Botchford followed you. And I was like, oh my God,
it was a badge of honor
moment.
Yeah. Speaking of badges of honor, though, it's when, you know, someone like Sat drops into your live show.
Oh, I got to go. I can't. I just refuse.
Welcome, Sat, to the madhouse.
What is going on? Merry Christmas. What's happening?
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you.
We're just sort of talking about the Vancouver market, how the armies and podcasting and bloggers and Canucks Twitter all seems to have a thing that doesn't relate anywhere else. And as I, you know, Stanch, you pointed out, every time that sort of like Canucks Twitter or that unites, it's an amazing thing. Like every so often there's that moment where it doesn't matter which polarized side you're on. Suddenly everyone's like, okay, don't you dare. It's kind of like family. Like, yeah, I call my brother names, but trust me, you insult either one of us and gosh darn it, Chris and Will are coming at you.
Yeah, I mean, I always say, like, when people make fun of Vancouver, like, other markets, I'm like, you guys can't do it nearly as well as we do to ourselves, so, like, don't even bother. Like, don't even try.
So true.
Well, it's just, it's always so passionate, right? And people, but the thing is people have really decided what they want to say before they go on Twitter, and the experience has kind of become, you know, you come to plant your flag as opposed to coming and, you know, changing your mind. So it kind of adds to the lore because you have the sides firmly entrenched in their opinions, a lot of them bad, of course, too, and in a lot of aggressive ways. But mm-hmm. I think Stanch is right. I mean, we are well equipped to fight any other fan base because we deal with their infighting constantly on a daily basis.
Oh, gosh. So, you know, back on hockey, your world's getting back into the world of Vancouver Canucks NHL in a few weeks' time. Are you ready?
Man, excited. Yeah, really excited. It's, I mean, you see what happens when we have too much time on our hands, not watching hockey. I mean, football, yeah. Football has been great, but obviously having hockey back is awesome. And, you know, get back to a lot of the same arguments. So the fights you see now will just continue on and in different ways moving forward.
Oh, great.
But no, I'm super excited. Like, I think it's a, you know, we'll see which way the team goes, obviously, but with the storylines of following Pettersson, following Hughes, and seeing these young guys and what they can accomplish, there's so much fun now watching a Canucks game. So, like, I think we're all excited to be able to watch games and be thrilled by what we see on the ice, and then bicker about everything off the ice.
So, this question actually was asked earlier. I'm going to ask you: who's your top six for the Vancouver Canucks?
If I say Louis Erickson, would everybody be really mad?
That's what I said.
I don't know if Louis is going to actually play. I think early in the season, they'll give Jake a chance. Everything I hear is that Jake's in really good shape and he's worked hard this offseason. And you know, we've heard those stories in the past. But knowing Travis, his MO usually is he sends a message early in camp or he gives somebody, dangles a carrot and lets them run with it for a bit, right? We even saw with Goldobin early in the season a couple of years ago. And you know, people liked what they saw. A lot of people didn't, but you know, at least he got the run for the first 20-30 games, and then abruptly came to an end and it changed. So I would guess that Jake gets a chance early in the season, and you know, everything else kind of stays intact. Pettersson on the top line.
Hot take, you heard it here first. Pettersson is playing on the Canucks top line.
Who was it that said Pettersson isn't like a top tier player? I can't remember. Like someone out east had made a comment that, you know, Pettersson's a good player, but like he wasn't at the same level as, I want to say it was just recently someone out east.
Was it not Steve Simmons? Or was that him talking about Quinn Hughes versus
No, that was Quinn Hughes. That's right. Yeah, sorry. I just, talking of, you know, moments to unite Canucks Twitter. but yeah, no, Peter will build in the top line.
Canucks Twitter versus Simmons doesn't seem like a fair fight.
No, I mean, I understand the thing with Pettersson is because people want to see him pile up the points, right? And they're like, well, he's not Connor McDavid. He's not this guy. He doesn't have, you know, he doesn't score one, you know, 1.5 points every game or whatever it is, right? But how he plays as a two-way player, I think that's what we appreciate here in the city. You see how valuable his player is. You saw him in the playoffs. I think anybody who watched the playoffs and understands it, hockey to even a rudimentary sense knew that player was one of the best players on the ice, if not the best player in most of the games he played. It was undeniable when you saw it, and you saw the impact he had on the game and how he adjusts. So I think if somebody says he's not in the same conversation as the best players in the league, it's either, you know, trolling to get Canucks fans getting after them and on Twitter, which gives them enough run that what they're looking for, or they're just not watching close enough.
I mean, truly, that's no. I was just gonna say, there's no way you can like equate him to Connor McDavid, where the whole team is set up like around him, and it's just such a big differential between players. So it's just a strange measure.
Yeah, sorry, Stanch. Pettersson actually pays attention to his own end, so that's why he's different than Connor. So, but I will say that. It's true, though. It's true. I will say that it comes to, like, obviously everyone's competitive in the NHL. They had to work really hard to get there. But there's something about Pettersson, like, when he is mad about losing, he focuses it in a good way. Some people kind of get rattled when he's not good, but when he like thinks he's screwed up, or is like he just focuses and like he gets a better player. Like he's something about him where like I love watching my hockey because I know if he screws up or he gets scored on, he's going to find a way to elevate his game, and not everyone can do that. And that's what I really appreciate about Pettersson.
Totally.
Okay.
Stan just getting love in chat right now. There was a conversation earlier in C4 Discord as to Connor McDavid and whether he was a sound defensive player.
Okay, don't get me wrong. I love Todd Bertuzzi. He was great as own end. And Connor McDavid doesn't need to be good as own end. He's doing so much good at their end. But if you're looking at like what's the one of the pros of Pettersson, like the fact he's so good. Like we've seen him make amazing plays in his own end. Like the Steens were good in their own end too, but Pettersson's a different level. Like he will make, I've never seen players do this where they will dive. And most of the time when a player dives, like the X or that, they're out of position. He dives in the most precise manner where he'll get the puck and get back up again. Like there's something about him where like he's never out of control, even though he's doing out of control things. It's so weird.
Well, he's also driven, right? Like he's one of those guys that's wired at this point to be an all-time great. Like it's, you see these, like once you encounter a lot of these athletes over the years, you've seen them, there are guys who really care. Then there are guys who are elite. And then there are guys who truly want to be considered the best. And they strive to be in the same conversation. I think now that Pettersson has realized what he can accomplish and the kind of run he gets, you see how he goes about his branding. Like it's very methodical, and it's very much trying to portray what he's trying to accomplish and achieve in the future. I think he's really driven to be a superstar and be amongst the best to ever play the game. And I think that's super exciting for the fan base, because when was the best time to be a Canucks fan? It's when they were striving to be great, when they were striving for excellence. You have a player who embodies that.
Sad, it's funny you mentioned that, because I remember his first year here, maybe it was English, or maybe we weren't used to his competitive drive. A lot of people thought he was a little prickly or a little bit kind of standoffish. Then we get to appreciate how good he is and how much he wants to win. And I saw, I never get to go in the locker room. I'm not media, but once in a while I'll volunteer at these golf tournaments. And he was getting mad this year at Jake Milford, because the person that was put with him was not that good of a golfer, and he was visibly upset for his round. Yeah, it was. That's not something I'm going to tweet, although I just did it here, but it was just really, really funny, because it just showed you how competitive he is. Absolutely.
But I will say, go ahead. No, good. I just will say that I do think Canadians maybe are not used to the like dry kind of European sensibility, because right away I found him super engaging and smart and clever in interviews, and I just think it took us the market a while to get used to that.
I mean, on that note, like not a tweet, but a fin, like Sammy Sallow. Like the way he used to deliver things, and he would say things in such short bites that I think it took a while for us as a market to figure out that he was actually trying to be humorous and funny. Occasionally he'd drop something that you knew was like, Mr. Balls of Steel, and how the soldiers might be down, but the general's okay. I mean, you don't expect that, but that was apparently, from what I understand, that was just his personality. Like that's the way kind of guy he was. You look at him though, it's like, oh, that guy's the most stoic person.
Sal's hilarious. I saw him doing working with the prospects once, and they were all taking shots. He's just sitting there watching every shot. Muffin, get better at that. Muffin. I was like, I love Sal, man. He's a funny guy.
Like that Nordic, stoicism, but at the same time that dry sense of humor. A lot of Swedes and like the Finns have that kind of real dry sense of humor, and a lot of deadpan. Like you're right. Like if you haven't encountered that, like Sam mentioned, you at first you'd be like, wait, is he trying to say something? It's just really that sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing with Pettersson I love about him is when he says like that he's like either not competitive or something doesn't get to him, because everything gets to him. Like when he's doing the war zone or I show him, like, he's like, so do you ever get mad? Why would I get mad? Like 2 minutes later, he gets killed. What the fuck is he getting mad? Like he's competitive, man. He is, but he just wants to be like, no, I'm not. It's not a big deal. But he's just driven to compete. And I think the thing about him is he seems like he's a very authentic guy, I think. And like everything he's doing in Vancouver, sure, he's got branding and stuff, but it's all very much who he is, what he wants to do. It doesn't feel like he's forcing it. And he's connected with Vancouver in a way not many players have, especially in a new way. Like him, like even the shout out to Botch in his speech, like he's found a way to connect to the market, knows what's important to the market, and I think it's important to him. And I think that's why for him, he will go down as one of the most favorite players of all time from the city. Like it's because back in the day, Trevelyan, and all you had to do was be a hard worker. Like, Bo Horvat, if he was in the 80s, would be another Trevelyan. I'm just like, that hardworking kid, that's all you got to do, go on the ice.
But that's what you want in a captain. It's not what you want in a star player. Like,
I think today, though, but like, just in terms of like being a superstar player, like, you, like, if you want to get to the next level, like the NBA players are like a different level than NHL player. Like, people like Patterson are going to get there because they're on Instagram, they're doing this fashion stuff, they're being fun. Like, how often have we seen someone send a picture of like a basketball? Can you copy this, Patterson? And Patterson actually responds. Like, he gets it, and I just can't wait to see what he does with this market.
Totally. I mean, Vancouver's not a very like fashion savvy place. We're pretty quiet. Like, there's only a million people here. Like, it's not Toronto, but like, he's standing out in this market. He's doing something different. I love him for it.
Just to quickly interject, I think Clay and Sam, you both are looking at needing to bounce. So I didn't want to, like, you know, not give you the opportunity to provide some final words of wisdom and thoughts.
Go ahead, Sam.
I don't have any wisdom or thoughts. I was just laughing because Vanessa just messaged me that I am 10 years off from being the youngest person in this class.
Okay.
Wow.
She's relentless. Like, it never stops.
At least you can come back to her, though, that while that might be the case, you're also a good probably 10 years from being the oldest, too.
I've also been instructed to tell you that my last words should be to tell everyone that the broadcast Twitter account now officially has more followers than Israel Fair does.
Oh, Izzy. Where is he?
Izzy never tweets anymore. Like, try harder, Izzy. Like,
Izzy's like the sweetest guy ever, too. I love
him.
He's the best guy ever.
he's gonna be editing the Western Canada Athletic for the next year because of Matt leave. So I'm excited to work with Izzy now for the next year.
So he's
gonna be the like slave master driving you. So
yeah, pretty much. But he's too nice to actually do anything mean. So
and Clay,
yeah, no, it was great seeing everyone. Like I said, CHB was part of my roots, part of got me going. And you know, the reason why I do the vlogging is because there's too many good writers like Wyatt. There's too many good podcasters like you guys. So there's not a lot of vloggers in Vancouver, but there's some good ones there as well. But yeah, it's my daughter's 13th birthday, so I better get back to her. But to all of you and to everyone watching, obviously wishing everyone a very safe and blessed Christmas. And
before you go, I'd be very disappointed if you left without a haiku for us all.
Okay.
Oh, wow. On the spot.
All right. I think Clay's got one.
No. We're on the spot. Look at these legends across my screen. So nice. Merry Christmas to you. Wow. Oh, I messed up. Whatever. Yeah. Thank you.
Pretty good. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Clay.
Happy holidays.
Good seeing you. Take care.
Bye. Wow. Like, what an all-star cast we've got.
Well, and I also need to point out, apparently Faber had dropped a message earlier, Sat, that you had a party to get to in 15 minutes, or you might have to come to.
Yeah, around 8:30. Like, we have a work Zoom Christmas party at 8:30 today. So I probably should go, but I can stay for another couple of minutes. I don't have to rush off. I mean, it's
you
work.
You want to be fashionably late, right?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to be cognizant of time. Appreciate you joining us. And originally, when we talked about this, we're like, yeah, let's get people together. We'll sort of roundtable, have a good time in the holidays. And I thought we'd have like a couple people. And then Anna here put in the work and got like a million, which is great.
That's awesome.
This is the first time we'll make do this again.
I mean, behind the scenes, I was riding high off a first date that went well and slightly drunk. And I was just like, right, I'm feeling productive. Let me message
Anna, how do you date? How do you go on a first date these days?
I mean, it's weird. Don't get me wrong.
How was your Zoom date?
No, it was in person, just distanced, you know. But it's weird. Don't get me wrong. Like, 2020 dating is weird. It's a weird vibe.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah. But, you know, got to keep going. Try and attempt normal life.
No kidding. This is what life's been about, hasn't it? This year, adapting, finding a way to adapt and just finding a way to get by day, whichever way you do it, right? It's, you know.
Well, it's like I was just talking to my cousin in Alberta where we're trying to set up a Zoom call for the entire sort of family to get together. And this is the first time we've gone and done something like that. And quite frankly, I can see why people may not have tried to do this in the past, but it's, we want to make it happen. Everyone's committed to doing it. We're all going to get together on Zoom. I think the hardest part about it was trying to teach my parents how to actually use Zoom and that the camera doesn't need to be held up to your like mouth or anything like that.
Yeah, that's a weird one. That's a great question from Anders on the chat that, Chris, if you want to add it, and the most memorable piece of Canucks merch that you've received or bought, like, what's the best piece in your collection?
I'm going to start this one. So the first piece of merch I got was a Peter Zezel game-used hockey stick. I loved it so much that I gave it to my best friend to use in street hockey, and he proceeded to whittle it down into nothing.
Yeah.
But that stick was like the first Canucks merch I ever received. And it just happened to be like Old Pacific Coliseum, which I might be dating myself here that people don't realize. You could actually walk down and be like 10 feet from the dressing room. And it was just like a, you know, one of those temporary metal fences in the way. And it wasn't like there was a million people. You could just stand there and like, you know, players would walk by and officials and whatnot. So that's how I got it.
That is old school.
Anyone else?
I can jump in. I will say my ironic purchase, which became one of my favorite purchases, was the 2011 President's Trophy Canuck t-shirt. Just because all we had at the time.
Which I wear the 2012 one too?
No, just 2011 is the one that hurts the most. That's yeah,
2012. You were good with the 2011 one.
Yeah, 2011 actually meant something. 2012 was like, oh, they won that? Wow. So
yeah. Like, that was a bad year.
2012 posters that were all over downtown that said, like, make sure you celebrate responsibly. And then they got knocked out of five games.
Yep.
Yeah. What a way to celebrate.
It's a small thing sometimes, right? Like, I have a can opener. I don't have it here. It's actually, I have it. Storage actually now, but it's a can opener, Canucks can opener from their original year, 1970. Ooh. And it's a buddy of mine who, you know, sadly is no longer with us, but he gave it to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've always kept it in a good condition. I moved to a new place, so I have all this stuff in storage, so I know it's down there. Otherwise, I would go grab it and show it now. It's a super small thing, but it's just now I always, you know, you have it out of memory for him. So I'd say that's probably the most memorable piece of Canucks merch I've ever received.
I think my weirdest, I have two weirdest. One is Matt Barkowski signed puck that my friend gave to me for my birthday. Bless his heart. The second weirdest one is Kevin Bieksa jersey, which is signed initially by Eddie Lack and Frankie Corrado. Nice. And now by Bieksa as well. But let's say like Juice was pretty confused when he was just like, wait, who else has signed this? And I was like, yep, Eddie Lack and Frankie Corrado. This was ages after they left the team too that Juice signed it. So he was nice about the whole thing, but he found it weird, I'm sure.
When I was young, like, I don't know, 10, I played goalie. And that's back when Dan Cloutier was minding the net for the Vancouver Canucks. So my naive self loved Dan Cloutier. So I have a framed, signed Dan Cloutier.
No.
Just a hockey card, not a jersey, but I loved Dan Cloutier as a kid.
That's so
not knowing any better.
You still love him now, admit it.
Oh, the birdcage. Can you not?
You're terrible.
Oh. I think everyone's gone, right? The best and maybe the worst gift I have ever received is a signed Eric Gudbranson stick.
Oh, nice.
I still don't know what I'm doing with that.
I mean, that's the thing, like, I have met Eric Branson and I have a photo with him, but then at least that has some value because it's a photo of Eric Branson. Like,
no, it's a signed stick.
He is pretty in person as he is on TV.
Yeah, prettier. He's a total smoke show. He's really nice and he's really tall. Like, delightful person to meet. Glad he doesn't play on the team anymore.
He is like one of the nicest guys you'll meet. That's the funny thing. And so you always have to like weigh that versus what you saw on the ice and be like, this guy's actually really, really nice. I hate roasting him right now almost. But yeah.
Yeah. But you got to be honest, right? I mean, he was delightful and I was drunk and he was very charming.
So, Sat, you mentioned you're going to bounce to your holiday party.
Holiday Zoom party. So the good thing is I can cut myself off before I embarrass myself in person this year. So that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty quick way to stumble home.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but any final words of wisdom there before you peace out?
Well, just thanks so much for having me on, Chris, Anna, Matt. Good seeing you guys, Stanch, Adam, and you know, it's been a really messed up year. We had a lot of fun over the summer, and I look forward to talking again in the new year. I wish everybody a happy new year as well. Be as safe as possible. Please take care of yourselves and your loved ones. And I can't wait until we get back on Twitter again after today and start talking hockey and argue. And Stanch is going to be, you know, he's going to be the ringleader of the war against all the other fan bases.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I got a quick question for both of you guys. Who's getting further in the NFL playoffs this year, the Buffalo Bills or the Cleveland Browns?
Ooh.
The Bills.
How do you stop Beef Allen? I don't know if you can.
I don't know, man. I mean, I'd love to say the Browns. The Bills are just rolling right now, man. Like, that offense is great. They're so well coached. That defense is figuring it out. The Browns are going to be a terror for the future, and I think they'll do decent this year in the playoffs. I'm not sure it's their year, though. It could be the Bills.
I'm kind of excited just to see both of them in the playoffs, though. Just
yeah, man, it's
at
awesome.
The same time, it's the most 2020 thing ever is to have them both in the playoffs.
It's all gravy now, man. I mean, 10 wins, most likely going to make the playoffs. It's just been such a blast just being able to watch the team and have fun and have hope every week. So it's been great.
Yeah, taking the division away from the Patriots is a glorious thing.
Oh,
yeah. I agree. The defense is the biggest concern for Buffalo, but they're kind of like Dallas in the same way. Their defense kind of figured it out, but you know, who knows the NFC's, but the offense, man, Cole Beasley and Diggs and like just all the weapons Allen has.
He's unreal,
yeah, yeah, Diggs is so good. Yeah, he's a lot of fun to watch. Fun team to watch.
They're insane.
All right.
Thanks, all right. Zap.
Good happy seeing holidays. You. Guys. Happy holidays. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Zap.
Bye.
Oh, I mean, so, I know nothing about the NFL, but like
I watch games.
Those two like franchises, are they like the most depressing towns to live in professional sports? Like Cleveland is not a great place to live, neither is Buffalo, and they have terrible teams.
The ESPN 30 for 30 on the Buffalo Bills.
I was gonna say
watch that. As a Canucks fan, it resonates because it's like it's just a franchise that like I don't know. If imagine the Canucks made the finals 4 years in a row and lost 4 years in a row.
Yeah, oh my god!
I did hear about this on another generic sports podcast.
Yeah,
but that's because
they actually interviewed the players. The players are watching like you know when the first Super Bowl loss and like I keep watching this video. I keep thinking we're gonna catch that ball, but we don't. Like we've all been there. We all think Lafayette's fine. We watch it. Maybe it'll go in this time. It's not. But you just feel like maybe this. And so yeah, they watch it. This is the heartbreak and like them wondering like how did we lose 4 times in a row? Like it's insane.
That's the thing because like. But
that will never be repeated. That's such an incredible feat, if you will. Just like that's so unbelievable.
I mean, like both my teams in other sports are like really bad right now, but it's not like we used to get close all the time and lose. We're just bad. So I feel like which is worse? I don't even know.
So there was an earlier question, Stanch, I didn't ask. Faber wanted to know how that Pulse Labs chair has helped or taken away from your KD and Warzone, which I want to point out.
Oh my god! I just got a new Pulse Lab chair. This one's served me really well for about a year and a half. And as everyone knows, a good gaming chair improves your kill death ratio a lot. So it has. It's really been really good for my back. Like it's a local company, so a huge shout.
Great. Well, I think they're based in Richmond here. I want to say because I mean I went pick mine up from their storefront, but.
Delivered it to my house himself when they were first starting out. I'm like, oh, sweet, you must be a small company. But they're hopefully growing, and yeah, it's a great chair.
Yeah. Oh, so this went longer than I had expected. Yeah, Anders, I know I'm giving away sponsorship opportunities. I'm not, like, our ads that get inserted aren't us.
Like, yeah, whoops, Pulse Labs, right there.
You lose code, such and such. To you. Yeah. And they'll throw in a free package from Manscaped. It's actually, on that note, like Manscaped is, I think, sponsored pretty much every Canucks podcast, save for like the two of ours.
Well,
or maybe the broadcast too. I don't think they've sponsored them, but
also.
So.
But yeah, it's funny. They're like coming up on like cricket podcasts they listen to now, and the host gets so awkward reading during the ad reads, and I'm like. Guys, you don't know awkward until you have advertised as a, like the lone female host.
Well, okay. In fairness, I threw it out there. I was willing to read it. You stepped up. I want to give you kudos for stepping up.
Yeah. We just blame it on them because they didn't take up this golden opportunity to have me advertise for them.
So anyone got anything going on for the holidays? Everyone just laying low, or
yeah, what is there to do?
I don't know. I have a 3.5-year-old who is totally in on Christmas right now. Like, she's wanting to decorate the tree. My wife and her are decorating our mantle. Like, this is neat because I'm getting to experience everything through her.
Yeah, that's cool.
But we're laying low. We're sticking here, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's the deal with everyone. Are you back on the island, Adam?
On the island? No, I'm in my new apartment downtown.
With the decorated sliding door.
Very nice.
Yeah. We're like your daughter, Chris, into the Christmas spirit big time here.
Adorable. Anders is asking if there's any more carol reads. There are.
Yeah, you promised a lot, so let's get going.
Okay. I'm trying to pick one that I think you guys will get. Okay. Given what we were just talking about. Whether he's dominating in war zone or the offensive zone, this festive deity could certainly use a rest for him and his happy crew.
Godet, you marry gentlemen?
Yeah.
Yep. Good job.
Wow. Boom. I'm that's it. The show's over.
Chris is retiring. Yeah, Anders got it also.
Yeah.
So well done, guys. I'm actually impressed with that one.
Cool. So Stanch, seems it's about time for you to bounce off. Any final words of wisdom you want to share with everyone?
Oh, I'm just really excited about the All-Canadian season. I think it's going to be one of the most, that's probably the best iteration of weird COVID hockey we could get, is having all of Canada hating each other in a good fashion. So I'm looking forward to it a lot. So,
and can I indirectly say, like, why I'm so looking forward to all your coverage in The Athletic as a result of the All-Canadian division? That's like the sidebar of entertainment. Like, I am looking forward to you just stoking that fire for a 56-game stretch.
I'll be getting the bulk of the armies, and I'll be running down every Canadian city as much as I can. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Is it going to be called like Why It Does Canada? Like 2021?
Yeah, maybe not. So that sounds worse. But yeah, I'll come with a good Why It Does Canada tour. Might be something else. But I'll come up with something good for it. I'm sure. I'm gonna try to do a little promotional video for the armies before the season starts. So I'm gonna try to have some fun with it.
Cool.
Great. Well thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Wyatt, sorry, just before you go, we've never officially met, but I just have to say, I've been wanting to say this for years now. Back when you were doing the province contest, my mom found you, and she's been your biggest fan since.
No way.
She loves you. She loves you, and she got me hooked on your writing, and I've been a big fan too. But it's nice to finally meet you. So.
Oh, this is great meeting you. That's awesome here. thank you so much for that. That's awesome.
Of course, man.
Okay, happy holidays, Wyatt.
Happy holidays, Wyatt.
Thank you, everyone.
Sweet. And Matt, you mentioned you might be needing to bounce off. So I'm thinking for the four of us, it's probably an opportunity to wrap up our holiday live show. I think we had fun.
I'd be glad that the internet held on for an hour and 45 minutes.
That is a Christmas miracle.
Well, I don't know if you noticed in chat there were a number of people, for instance, Lisa here, who's just impressed your internet connection lasted this long. So
yeah.
A number of people that in comments.
I mean,
the longest Matt's hardware has ever lasted.
I know that? I mentioned to the guys before the show, like, I unplugged all my smart bulbs, my Google Home. I'm using a wired connection, and I turned off the Wi-Fi for all of our phones. So, like,
why is your Wi-Fi so bad?
So, Mrs. Producer extraordinaire just sitting there with a candle.
We're basically, we're in the
Matt, why is your Wi-Fi so bad?
I'm told it's the building Wi-Fi, like the wires in the building are not good. It's copper wiring.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
We all can't have a fancy condo in the middle of downtown above a Costco, Adam.
I mean, that's pretty good location.
You know what? It's been pretty nice because it's been quiet because there's nothing going on, but I am excited for when games are back here and I can hear the goals before I see them on TV.
That's gonna be pretty fun. Cool.
Or just rolling, if I'm going to a game, rolling out of the house at 6:55, it's going to be fun.
Actually, out of curiosity,
Adam's that guy who shows up 10 minutes into the first period and he's like, excuse me, like my seat halfway in the row.
What were you gonna say, Chris?
I was gonna say, like, do you hear noise out of the Raj? Because, like, you hear noise at a BC place.
We haven't yet because there hasn't been anything, but I'm positive we will.
Yeah, and it's I'm genuinely curious. Like,
I mean, you're right about that. Like,
yeah, we're gonna hear
it. Yeah, I mean, BC Place guaranteed. Like, just because they open that hole and everything shoots up, but Raja, but it's concrete, actually, metal.
The BC Place acoustics, like, I've been to concerts there. It's crap.
Oh,
like,
I know. Oh,
Raj has way better acoustics.
I remember, I can't remember what Grey Cup it was, but Tom Cochran performed at the halftime show. And, you know, whoever it was on the speakers was like, "How did you think of that off halftime show?" And the guy, like, down the road, "It was bloody awful, full. Because that's all we heard. Life is a high, way.
Yeah.
Anywho.
It's bad.
I think we should do something like this again in the new year. Maybe, you know,
we'll think of another holiday to celebrate.
Yeah. Maybe Adam will make an appearance.
Maybe I'll make multiple. Who knows?
Maybe you never know. But any final words of wisdom that you want to share with all of our viewers and listeners when I figure out how to post this this episode?
No, thanks for joining us. And thanks for having me, guys. It's great to see you again. I look forward to more of this in the new year. Just be safe. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and happy new year to you all. And hopefully we can get together in studio or in a bar sometime soon.
How about you, Matt?
Yeah, I think Adam put it pretty well there. I'd also like to say I echo Anders's comment, Adam, about how I'm looking forward to you snagging $10 tickets after the first period from scalpers. So make sure you have me on that wait list.
You're right at the top now.
Anna?
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. That was a real fun, festive party time. I hope you all enjoyed riding along with us. And yeah, stay safe. There's a lot of unknown still about what the new season's going to look like and what the new year's going to look like. But all we can do is, like, do our part and stay safe. And hopefully there'll be some form of hockey for us to enjoy in the new year. Mm-hmm. And we might get back to normal, you know, in 2021.
And for me, I want to thank all of you who've joined the live show here. I want to thank everyone who's obviously listening to the podcast as you normally would. I want to thank the guests that joined us. Yeah. I'm not talking about Adam. I'm talking about Clay, Sam, Sat, Wyatt. It was fun. And I genuinely enjoy having this round table. Maybe there's something we can do to synergize this in the future. Maybe we need to upgrade Matt's internet. Maybe we need to ensure Adam's not locked in his basement or whatever the rumors were these days. But have a safe and happy holiday season. We'll be back in the new year. We're going to take some much needed time off. So look for our next show, normal show, in the new year. I was going to say 2 weeks from now. I don't want to commit to that because I need to look at the calendar, but we will be talking about NHL Vancouver Canucks hockey on the longest running best mediocre podcast that's related to the Vancouver Canucks. So on behalf of Adam O'Connor at Adam FOC, Matley at Matley underscore 61, Anna Forsyth at A4630 for myself, Chris at Lightforce. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at the C4 podcast. Join C4 Discord at discord.io/C4 podcast. But guess what? We're out.